I'm Brian Moline. Drinking water has been part of the national conversation since the discovery of lead in Flint, Michigan's water supply last year. That's one reason the Prairie Rivers Network has invited George Hawkins to speak at their annual dinner tonight in Champaign. Hawkins is the general manager and CEO of DC Water, one of the largest municipal water companies in the country. I spoke with Hawkins about some of the issues facing municipal water supplies in the United States, starting with the lessons to take from the problems in Flint.
I think it's twofold. One is the absolute need for the investment in infrastructure that many people don't think about day to day, but are instrumental to the public health of everyone. But second is also what happened in Flint was a change to source water. And one of the messages I'll be delivering to the Prairie Rivers Network when I come visit is that it's very expensive and difficult for authorities like ours, we're an urban authority governing the metropolitan region around D.C., to do this work without a strong collaboration with all of the suburban and rural areas that surround us. Because it's really the source water protection that is often the most effective and least expensive way to reduce pollutants. You can pay an enterprise like mine a lot of money at the end of the pipe at a big facility like we run. Blue Plains, our facility, is the largest of its kind in the world. It's mammoth. Very expensive. Or you can go upstream and try to eliminate pollutants before they get into the systems in the first place, either for drinking water or otherwise. And that's the sort of work that the Prairie Rivers Network does. And I used to run a watershed nonprofit in New Jersey doing the same work, that you can eliminate at lower cost and more effectiveness pollutants at the source, which means working with farmers, it means working with suburban landowners, whether they be business, commercial, or residential, of what's done on the land so that pollutant doesn't get into the water in the first place. And that's a great collaboration. We'll absolutely do our work at our huge facilities in the treatment world, but I think the most effective and efficient way to do this is working together with organizations like Prairie Rivers to have a network that does this both at the source and then at the treatment facility at the end.
One other issue that's come up here over the last several years is toxic algae blooms in places like Lake Erie and the Gulf of Mexico. What kind of threat do those algae blooms pose to our water system, and what are some possible solutions?
Nutrients are a good thing most of the time. It's what we put on the land on purpose to have things grow. But if there's too much nutrients, it goes into the water, causes the algae to bloom, among other. And what the algae does in its life cycle is absorb oxygen out of the water. So it also can cause contaminants to get into the drinking water system. But more historically or classically, it has been absorbing oxygen in the water and creates dead zones because the algae is using so much oxygen in the water in its life cycle. So we essentially have over-fertilized the waterways. And once again, the best solution, most efficient and most cost-effective, means both utilities and community environmental watershed groups working together. We can remove a tremendous amount of nutrients at treatment facilities, but it also can be done with smart planning and smart management of land upstream. How fertilizers are applied in farm fields and how they're managed, how they're even contoured can reduce the amount of runoff of excess fertilizer. Same for front lawns and for business campuses. These can be designed with all sorts of positive environmental amenities and all sorts of bioswales that have great trees and flowering bushes that add to the quality of life can also be providing actually infrastructure benefits of reducing nutrients by going into this planted area rather than having that flow into the river, causing algae, which causes both the loss of oxygen in the river and sometimes other contaminants that get into the drinking water cycle. So it is a problem. It is a problem that we can solve, because the question of too much nutrients, part of that answer is at treatment facilities like the one we run and are run in Illinois, and part of it is by being smart and thoughtful about how those nutrients get into the water in the first place, running off the land. And that means not one or the other. It means both.
What's the biggest problem you've had to tackle in your time at DC Water?
The single biggest problem that I've had to tackle, that's a hard one to answer because there are many, but it's fundamentally a cost and value proposition to our customers. We, in essence, are able to do almost anything. We've got tremendous engineering skill, tremendous operational skill, and the question is, do our customers know us well enough and support what we do well enough to invest in us and allow us to do that work, because we are ratepayer funded. We don't get tax dollars. We don't get indirect subsidies. We are funded by our ratepayers. And when I started here over 7 years ago, most ratepayers didn't know us. They didn't know who we were. And my reaction is, of course they're not going to pay us extra rate and extra revenue if they don't know who we are and why we're doing it. Why would anybody spend more money for something that they don't know what it is? None of us would do that. So our biggest challenge has been the fundamental one of creating a relationship with the people we serve, given that most of our infrastructure is hidden. And second, creating a value proposition that they can understand so that when we ask for additional rate revenue, they know what it's going for and why it matters to them.
I'm curious what you think could be the biggest problems that municipal water systems will be facing maybe in the next 5, 10, 15 years.
I would always start with the one I just mentioned, which is making a visible value proposition based on customer service and the environmental and public health service that we provide. That's probably always going to be the first, because no matter what other issues come up, and there will be new contaminants, pharmaceuticals, and low levels of chemicals that are used and end up in the water, there are always potential solutions that we can figure out. I'm actually impressed by the ingenuity of humanity. The question is whether we'll have a financial and a revenue base to implement those solutions. So my first challenge is always creating a visible, meaningful value proposition and a customer service operation to the people we serve. The second is our capacity to test for contaminants has gone far beyond our knowledge of what it means. So 10 years ago, a test that would have come up for a particular chemical or pharmaceutical at non-detect, we're now so good at testing, might come up at one part or several parts per trillion. And nobody knows what that means. Is that a health challenge or not? And there's a lot of contaminants that we're dealing with in the city, in the system, from pharmaceuticals or from products that are used in animal husbandry or otherwise, that we were not historically set up to respond to in our treatment facilities, and now we're being asked to look at them, and we can test for them. So that combination of knowing all sorts of new contaminants and knowing them at numbers that are very tiny often, and figuring out what the right step to do is, you combine that issue with the first one, which is we have to make a value proposition to our ratepayers and customers so they understand what we're doing and why it matters to them and why they should invest in us. Those two are always going to be an interplay back and forth as we go into the future.
George Hawkins is the General Manager and CEO of DC Water, the Water and Sewer Authority for Washington, D.C. and its suburbs. He's the keynote speaker at tonight's Prairie Rivers Network Annual Dinner at the I Hotel in Champaign.